Hey, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Everyone loves some good time travel, right? Sure you do. You want to go back in time and fix something up, right or wrong, do something you'd wish you had done before it was too late. So this week I'm looking at four movies, an action thriller and a psycho science fiction movie that deal directly with glitches in the time-space continuum, as well as a historical documentary biography about a stand-up comic who was inspired by his psychedelic trips, and an art film that manipulates old images and sound using newly created and found footage and graphic art. So time travel movies used to be simple. You'd climb into your time machine, travel back or forward in time till you fix whatever the problem was and come back home. But now, and I think possibly influenced by start-again video games and rebooted computer programs where you can always get the chance to erase your mistakes and go back to point zero, we have this sub-genre where scenes are repeated over and over again. You're the one variable that can make a difference, but if you mess up, someone's outside of you is pressing play again until you get it right, like in the classic Groundhog Day. In one new movie, Source Code, directed by Duncan Jones, that's David Bowie's son, you get to see the same 8-minute episode throughout the film as the hero, a U.S. military helicopter pilot in Afghanistan, tries to win at his game. So the soldier, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, suddenly awakens on a Chicago commuter train in the middle of a chat with Christina, played by Michelle Monaghan, a pretty woman across from him. The problem is, he doesn't know where he is, he doesn't know what he's doing, and who are all these strange people seated with him? He's never seen him before, but they all seem to know him. And when he looks in a bathroom mirror, he suddenly discovers he's not there. He's somehow inside another person. But even as he tries to make sense of all this, he's the victim of a huge fiery explosion on the train, which catapults him back to his military job. Turns out he's part of an experiment called Source Code, based on the principle that the brain can hold on to 8 minutes of short-term memory, and that after someone dies, like the man on the train, his neurosynapses remain open and retrievable if caught immediately after the heart stops. So here he is. It's up to him to figure out who the terrorist is, where the bomb was hidden, and then track down the killer and stop a massive nuclear bomb set to go off later in a downtown Chicago location. He can't change the past, but he can relive it this 8 minutes until he finds out the truth. So will he solve the crime? Will he catch the bad guy, get to know Christina, save the world? And will he ever be told why he's in this program and allowed out of this hellish space-time loop? Source Code essentially has the same format as the director's other film, Moon, about a man who lives alone on a base on the moon with only a computer voice to keep him company. A dialogue between two detached people caught in sort of a loop created by people beyond their understanding. In this movie, the conversation on the two sides of a video screen is between the soldier and a female officer, played by Vera Farmiga, who sends him his assignments. It's a neatly imagined science fiction action thriller, even though Gyllenhaal doesn't quite live up to the part. He's too opaque and too well-groomed with like perfect stubble to be a helicopter pilot. It didn't look right. And the story doesn't exactly make sense. It doesn't make sense even according to its own plot, but still a good movie. A Canadian film, Repeaters, directed by Carl Bessai, that played last year's TIFF, follows a similar pattern. Three young ne'er-do-well drug addicts, Kyle, Sonia, and Weeks, at an isolated rehab center, lived through a god-awful day of depression, bullying, idiocy, neglect, and frustration. The three only have each other to depend on. Pickup truck driving Kyle, played by Dustin Milligan, is rejected by his little sister for something he did. Sonia, played by Amanda Crew, is unable to talk about an issue with her father, who's dying in a hospital. And Weeks, played by Richard DeClercq, is emotionally crushed by the hate on his furious father carries for him whenever he tries to visit him in a prison. But when they wake up the next morning after a thunderstorm, it's soon clear the whole world is reliving the previous day exactly as before, and only these three are aware of what's going on. This totally messes up their sense of destiny and morality. Is there any meaning to life at all? Even if they save a person's life or kill him, it all seems to go back to the same point of restart. This movie is one day, not 8 minutes, so it's not as action-packed as Source Code. Will they ever confront their own moral dilemmas and right the wrongs that they know about? This is also a neat movie about things like where morality fits into one's own self-image. What are the psychological consequences of good and evil that has no effect? And another thing, what would you do if you could do anything and not have to pay for it? It's also a romance, a bit science fiction-y with a lot of psycho-thriller, and the three reveal their own minds to each other as the loops continue. Next movie is only related to time travel in that the main character was known to occasionally mentally float around in a drug-induced state. American, the Bill Hicks story, directed by Matt Harlock and Paul Thomas, is the next movie I'm talking about. Bill Hicks is a stand-up comic in the 70s and 80s known for touching the taboo topics of comedy. Not dick jokes, but politics, philosophy, intellectual and psychedelic jokes. His jokes, combined with a Texas drawl, a preacher's revival meeting voice, and out-of-control drunken and drug-filled improvisational rages and rants are what set Bill Hicks apart. This moving documentary traces his life from a geeky teenager until his untimely death in his early 30s. Interesting technique for a documentary, there are almost no talking heads in the movie. Instead, the heads, people like his parents, his best friend, other comedians, turn into the movie's narrators, like sort of an oral history, with most of the movie consisting of animated old photos along with old concert footage. He started as a 13-year-old in suburban Houston, Texas. On his first try drinking alcohol at a nightclub, he asks his fellow comedians, "What's a good drink?" Because he's never had a mixed drink before. They say, "Margaritas." So he orders 7 margaritas and downs them immediately and goes on stage to let loose. He considers alcohol as his disinhibitor of his true emotions and psilocybin mushrooms as his source of his psychedelic insights. He'd occasionally go up to the ranch with his bunch of friends and say, "Let's go up to the ranch to down the mushrooms and see what images and thoughts they bring him." Now, Hicks was a heavy drinker and a creative psychedelic druggie, and the movie shows some unflattering footage of a low period where he'd be on stage and audience members would buy him drinks during his stand-up act, and he would drink, snort, or inhale anything that got sent up to him during his routine. It's a bit disturbing, like most of his act, where unsobriety is part of his defiance, his rebellion. So American, the Bill Hicks story, is a very good and interesting movie of a largely unsung folk hero done in the style of a rock star documentary. My only criticism is I wish it had less of the bio parts and a bit more of the funny parts, but still a good movie. Finally, The Tiny Ventriloquist, directed by Steve Reinke. Here's another film that played last week's Images Festival, where experimental art meets the big screen. This movie takes a disjointed look at the director's own self-reflections towards his art using his own great narrated shots and photos along with found footage of the most surprising kind, cut up and manipulated in an unexpected way. I've always liked Steve Reinke's work because it's art, but it's also always interesting and funny to watch without the overly tedious or pensive feel that a lot of video art has. You're allowed to enjoy it. You're allowed to laugh or squirm. So in the same way that Hicks would drag political outrage into the usually pablum, fake shock world of stand-up comedy, Steve Reinke, in the same way, violates the usually dry inner sanctum of art by using found porn and other taboo sources in an artistically valid way, naturally. So in this movie, you get a combination of uneasy travel footage, spooky monochrome costumed home movies dancing, and old crackly recording, scenes of flood, water, old rural Western USA, drunken Dutch soccer hooligans, hunters, real or imagined, vaguely threatening child memories, manipulated Peanuts cartoons, scary medical industrial footage, and post-apocalyptic fantasies filled with dread. The most bizarre footage is of a woman shown going bear hunting in the woods, like actually bear hunting, followed by a protracted, explicit sex scene in the form of very low-grade amateur porn on top of the dead body of the bear. Okay, it's funny. The dry, didactic narration going over the top of it, describing it, while in order not to offend the viewers, it censors parts of the image by covering up with amorphous green screen color. Here's the surprise. He keeps all the hardcore porn images, but scribbles out the body of the poor dead bear. So throughout the piece, vivid footage is alternated with animated simple line drawings. I like this film, The Tiny Ventriloquist, a lot. So Source Code's now playing. American the Bill Hicks Story starts today at the Royal Cinema in Toronto. Check your local listings. Repeaters played at last year's TIFF and Rendezvous with Madness film festivals. And The Tiny Ventriloquist was shown at the Images Festival. This is Daniel Garber, the movies for CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.